Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak. And our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Andrew, I'm going to flip-flop this.
Okay.
I'm going to interview you this time rather than vice versa. I'm going to host you. You're the guest. But because I think you've got some great insight on video games in general, but specifically Fortnite. And this Fortnite, as you well know, has taken the world by storm, particularly the emerging generation.
We don't have to tell parents that.
No,
I'm sure.
No, we don't. Yeah. And many of us are going, what do you do with this? This seems to be an addiction, but is it bad? Is it good? What can we do with it? So if you don't mind, I wanna just kind of host this conversation. We'll see if I can do as good a job as you do.
Okay. But, I feel pretty confident in your ability.
Well, video games have been around for a long time. I'll never forget at 19 seeing some of the Pizza Hut or, you know, pizza joints having video games.
Yeah, like, an arcade game or whatever.
That's right. High school and college students would go in and play Pac-Man, you know, or some other game. There weren't a ton of them back then, but there were some. And I began to think, this is a thing.
Yes.
This is a thing.
Yes.
So, and then you born a little bit later.
Yes. So I was born in 88. So when I was coming up in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think the first game I remember playing was a computer game it was a Star Wars game where you could move the Millennium Falcon, but you had to get a joystick that you plugged into your computer to move that thing around, you know? But what was interesting is every game up until that point, and even the games when I was growing up, were about individual achievement, right?
Yeah.
The sort of lone individual flying the thing, trying to get through there, operating Pac-Man, trying not to get hit by the ghosts or whatever it is. And games started changing. The first big change was the emergence of console games, right? Especially ones where you could have multiple people plug into the same space.
Yes.
I think Nintendo was the first one to do that. You can be Mario and Luigi at the same time.
Yeah.
But it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. When I was growing up, we spent tons of time playing Halo. That was a really big game.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And we would play all night, and you could plug four people in, and they are all playing on the same screen at once. And so it was, you know, crazy, crazy. But I would say where things really started to change is when they introduced the internet to gaming.
Yeah.
And it has changed all of us to the point where it's not just something, you know, teenage boys do in their rooms. It's now a cultural powerhouse.
We were talking earlier about the fact 97% of kids today are playing some sort of game. 97 out of 100.
Yes. Yeah,
holy
that's
smokes.
Pew Research did a study, and they found, boys and girls, teenagers of all ages, 97% of them are playing games in some ways. Now, so for a lot of them, that's a game on their phone, but it's still a video game, and it still has all of the same elements as a game does on a console.
Yeah, but you're right. When the internet came into play, now we got community, we got all kinds of things happening, which you are going to lead us today in a discussion.
Yeah, so this is just sort of an anecdote, but this is exactly a symptom of what we're talking about here. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were with some friends, and these friends have two boys. One of them, I think, is 12, and the other one's 9. And, you know, we all had dinner together. We were talking, and then the boys disappear. You know, you think they're off to play Legos or whatever. And they come back, and they sort of, like, made space there in the dining room.
Oh.
And they put on some music, and they started doing a series of these really strange dances, you know? I don't know if you've heard of the floss, you know, where it looks like you're flossing between your legs. They started doing all these really funny dances. You know, the Carlton has come back from Fresh Prince and all these different things. And I knew enough to know what was happening, but even my wife sitting there was like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
Well, here's what it is. They're all dances that are a part of Fortnite, right? That's one of the things you can get can actually purchase a dance for your character to do. And it's one of the ways that you kind of say, look how cool I am in this virtual world. And this is, I think, exactly what's happening right now is you've got these video games that before were something some guy does in his parents' basement have now become these cultural powerhouses where there's dancing and there's music coming out of it. There's competition coming out of it. Millions of people will watch a final competition in South Korea of a video game.
Yeah.
40,000 people will show up in a stadium for a game like that.
This is crazy. I think one year it was more people watched a video game than watched the NBA Finals.
Exactly. Yeah, that was League of Legends. So League of Legends is one of the biggest games of all time. And more people live streamed the final of League of Legends that year than live streamed the NBA Finals of the same year. So,
and of course, Fortnite has found a way to monetize with the purchase of other products and dances and so forth.
Oh, man, yeah. So. And that's the interesting, monetizing is a really interesting word because that's one of the recent changes as early as 2017, 2018, is games started becoming free. And I think that's one of the big changes. So Fortnite is a free game to play, but they get you to pay for it just like mobile games do by, you know, speeding something up or getting some extra outfit or some dance or something like
that. Which you value, you you purchase.
Yeah, once you're in it, you realize that cultural value of those things. So it's just interesting that it's not just affecting the time we spend actually playing the game, but it's dancing and it's music and it's watching people play the game on YouTube or Twitch or wherever it is. And then it's also, and this is one of the most fascinating things, it's celebrities.
Yeah.
It's celebrities.
Yes. Yeah.
And this all kind of came to a head for me when I read back late in 2018, there was an article, and it was a first for ESPN magazine. Uh-huh. It was their first ever gamer that was on the front of the magazine.
Wow. So not a shortstop or a strong forward or a linebacker.
Or even a tennis player,
you
know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was a video gamer. And it was a guy that plays Fortnite, and his name is Ninja, and he's the most popular gamer in the world, you know? And I'm sure, and that maybe you want to give your perspective on this, that all adults everywhere who don't play Fortnite, myself included, I've not played Fortnite, look on at this and think, what?
you know?
I don't know if you feel that way.
Well, I kind of do, but I never did get into video games. I know I'm strange. Maybe I was just on a little bit older than when they got big. But in some ways, I'm thankful I didn't because I don't have that fight against the addiction.
Yeah.
You did feel like you were coming a little bit more addicted when you were in high school. We can talk more about that later.
Yeah.
But I want to jump in now to Fortnite. Maybe you can even explain a little bit. You've done a good job so far, but to a person that might not understand fully what's going on. And then I'd like to talk about what do you do to provide really healthy ways to do what kids want to play Fortnite for a handful of reasons.
Yes.
We can do those same things in a healthy way.
That's exactly well said. Yeah. Yeah. Fortnite is doing an interesting thing. Video games the world over are doing an interesting thing, which is they're causing addiction, right?
Yeah.
And addiction is not something that's new.
Yeah.
We've seen that for years and years and years. In fact, down through history, human beings have always struggled with it. I think what has happened is that video games today have used psychology and sociology and all of these things to build a concoction inside of this video game that just makes it more addictive than ever.
Yeah.
And you may have heard of this, but there are countries the world over, especially in Asia, and it's starting to come to America, where they have actually, there's business in clinics that help young men and young women with video game addiction.
Yeah.
Trying to break free, especially in Japan and South Korea. This is a whole industry, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just think what's happening right now is that video games are tapping into essential elements of who we are, especially the youngest of us, things that we're looking for, and saying, let me give you that in a game.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's the most dangerous thing about this. So kids today are missing out on things because they're doing video games. We're missing out on face-to-face time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We're missing out on goal setting and goal achieving, right? And even important things that we would say like studying, reading, like some of those things. And here's the biggest culprit is sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Yeah. Because it's stealing their sleep.
Yeah. Because video games almost exclusively happen at night and especially late into the night.
Yeah.
That's when kids have the most free time. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's, you know, when you're tired, you don't make good decisions.
Yeah.
And so it's at 1 a.m. where you think, I'll just play one more game. And before you know it, it's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's happening to 13 and 14 and 15 year old guys and girls.
Yep.
So it's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah. And because of that, I'd like now to jump into what are those four innate needs that kids have, or that humans have, really, that video games have found a way to tap that, but maybe we can find a more healthy way to tap into those needs that kids have.
Yes.
So, Walk, I think you've got four of them.
I do, yes.
Walk us through those.
So the important thing to say about this is these are real needs, good needs, that video games are alleviating in artificial ways.
Yes.
And I think that's the best way to explain what video games are doing to our kids. So let's jump in. Number one, the first thing that I think video games are giving us that is artificial is competition.
Yeah.
Competition. Yeah. So we get with the video games the thrill of competition without all that physical effort, of physical activity.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, for most of us, and I'm sure it was this way for you growing up, competition happened mostly in games of different kinds.
Yeah.
Not video games, but in
on a field.
Sports. Yeah. On a field or on a court or something like that.
Yeah.
Those things give you competition with the added benefit of physical exercise and face-to-face socialization, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now we're providing kids that element of competition, but we're taking away that mm-hmm. extra effort that they actually have
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
So here's what's interesting is, though, when you interview a kid, they feel the same way about watching their dad watch football or a sport,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, they go, you do the same thing.
Yeah, dad, you're mm-hmm. you're cheering for your team, and you yeah. get the thrill of competition, yeah. but you're sitting on the couch, right?
Yeah.
And so I think we as adults are not totally benign in this
uh-huh.
in this
true.
Situation, but it is a very similar thing where you yeah. feel like I'm getting that thrill of competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell me about a healthy way you can.
Well, I think I've got a couple, and I want you okay. to throw some out there too. I think there are really healthy ways for us yeah. to do competition mm-hmm. well. We've mentioned, you know, playing football or some
yeah.
sort of activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do something a little bit kinder with less physical contact, like flag football or,
yeah,
or pickup
sure.
basketball game yeah. or something like that. Another way, family game nights.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
lots of us have lost that.
Yeah.
But there's some of the biggest innovations in the world are happening with board games right
yeah,
now. There's
it's
so
true.
Many cool board games.
Yeah.
Get a new board game and play mm-hmm. it together with your family.
So in that sense, you're face-to-face with other people.
Exactly.
You're reacting and responding in real time. You don't have to be running around if you don't want to run around. Although the running around is a good thing. Sedentary, we're more sedentary than ever. As we sit here, I say sitting is the new smoking.
Yes,
you know?
I've
yeah.
heard that before.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, that's a great healthy way, a healthy substitute. Not that Fortnite is always wrong, but this would be a great substitute
yeah.
to do something in a healthy way.
Another cool one that I think of is competing towards a cause or a goal that's beneficial to the
okay.
world.
Okay, yes.
So, yeah. you know, when I was in high school and in college, we used to have competitions where, you know, in college we had like one dorm competes against another dorm to raise money for a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Or raise money for some issue mm-hmm. out there in the world. So finding yeah. ways to tap into that element of competition, but being forward thinking about helping
yeah.
us direct it in a healthy
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I love that. So you still get the competition, just in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Let's do number two.
Okay, so number two is achievement. Achievement.
Yeah, we all want to feel that.
Exactly. And this is actually one thing that every single game has in common. Because there are even some games where it's more story and it doesn't have necessarily that element of competition in it,
okay.
but it does. Every game has that element of achievement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
all video games take from the user time. They give
mm-hmm.
it, give me your time
yep.
and your skill and your
yep.
attention, and I give you back achievement.
Yes.
You get to feel like
that's
you accomplished something.
Yeah.
yeah, that's the exchange that everybody signs up for. So how does it look? It looks like streaks.
Yep.
We've heard of those.
Yeah.
It looks like wins and losses,
mm-hmm.
Badges you can earn if
yep.
you get to some level
yep.
of achievement, and even a digital trophy of some
yeah.
kind.
Yeah.
Within even some specific games, you earn, you know, you earn this sword for getting to this certain level, or you earn this new armor or whatever it is. So they find some way to reward you
yeah.
for your effort.
Can I stop you for
Please.
A second? So I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport last night. We're getting ready to board the flight. Next to our gate is a gigantic game area, video game area. I mean, and it's very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And you see on the screens the list of the top scores. So somebody walked, it's yeah, basically it's just, I feel good about myself. Look, it's my name right up there, number two in the world
yeah.
on this game, you know, or whatever.
Or
so,
I'm looking at it and think, I could beat that guy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It draws me in because
yeah.
I want to beat those people.
So bragging rights and so forth. But there it was publicly at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
Yeah. So, I mean, the number one thing that parents think when they hear us associating video
yeah.
games and achievement is, they're not achieving anything.
That's right. It's fake.
This
yeah.
is meaningless achievement,
yeah. Yeah.
right? And I think that's true unless those achievements are assigned meaning by their friends.
Okay.
And that's exactly
okay.
what's happening in the social
I see
world.
What you're saying. Yeah.
They aren't actually achieving anything. Actually, you could say the same
mm-hmm.
thing about the NBA
yeah,
championship,
that's right.
right? It's because 30, 40 million people watch this game and say, they're the champions of the
James
world.
James Harden is really good.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
we assign that meaning, it gets meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I'm saying is because video games are getting so big in our culture today,
yeah.
it's being assigned more and more meaning. Those things that seem meaningless are being assigned meaning.
Yeah, in social circles, yeah.
Exactly.
So talk about some healthy ways
yeah.
We can do achievement.
I think the best forms of achievement have to be intrinsically valuable,
yeah.
right? And they can't just be valuable because mm-hmm. somebody else says
yeah.
they're valuable. So these need to be achievements that make you healthy, that'll help you achieve your goals, different things like that. So I think of weight loss as
yeah,
one really great
yeah,
one. What a healthy goal to
yeah.
set for yourself that you achieve, right?
Yeah.
How many of us, I mean, the obesity is at an all-time high for kids
mm-hmm.
today, especially kids who are playing video games.
I know, I was just thinking, this might be a great real goal.
Yeah, so maybe one big thing is, you know, helping that 16 or 17-year-old who needs to lose a bit of weight, just encouraging them. And every time they reach a milestone of losing 5 pounds, just celebrating that.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Good.
Doing things like running races for young kids, you know, competitions like spelling bees, where when I achieve something there, we're recognizing a skill that's there. Your GPA, maybe getting a scholarship, right? Mm-hmm. Making money on a job. That's an achievement that we don't think about. 2 weeks into me working, I get a return on that. And we know that getting practice in a job and working towards something is really healthy.
It's huge. Yeah.
And then I think of New Year's resolutions, setting things that are doable but are aligned towards your desire for personal growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would build every achievement, every healthy achievement around long-term goals, right?
I love that.
Because if you're aiming towards the long term, you're willing to take short-term consequences for long-term payoffs. Yeah. And that's really what achievement should ultimately be about. And I think that's one of the big setbacks with video games is they give you instant gratification, instant achievement. And I think we need to stretch out that feeling of, I accomplished something.
Yeah. It's giving up what you want now for what you want ultimately.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's, you're right. And what I love about that is a video game may or may not offer that. You know, if I just am honest. But yet a long-term goal, like I love the fact that you brought up a job. Working a job during my middle school and high school years was the best career readiness for
Absolutely.
Me. I had started my working career. Now, was I doing the industry? No, I wasn't, but that didn't matter. I was building work ethic and skill sets and emotional intelligence with customers in the fast food restaurant. So I love the fact that you're just introducing some timeless sayings that we've lost a little bit of in this facsimile that we have called Fortnite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's do another one.
All right. The third one I would say is risk.
Yeah.
Risk. Especially on these games where you're got multiple people involved, everybody's rushing to achieve some objective. And even if you think about Fortnite, I mean, the goal of it is 50 people are putting a game together and one of them survives at the end of it, right? Yeah. What a crazy concept.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, having played lots of video games, the rush of dodging bullets and all those kinds of things is very, very real. I mean, real endorphins come out when you're playing a video
Andrew,
game.
Andrew, you just did a visual aid. Can you do that again?
Yeah. You're rushing, that's you're jumping around, all those
You that are watching the video of this, you could see this man just, it's almost like calisthenics.
I'm reliving,
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Okay.
Yeah. And risk is a really great motivator, right? Yeah. That feeling of that's the thing that makes when I played, that's the thing that made me want to play just one more game.
No doubt about it.
Because where else am I going to get that kind of feeling, you know, especially in such a safe environment?
Yeah.
And it's a powerful tool for development, but in the hands of a video game, I would say that risk is all for naught. Mm-hmm. It's a risk that's providing no real outcome or reward, right? Yeah. So all of the risk is being done, but no actual achievement. Yeah. And this is the thing that worries me actually most about video games, is that I take all of my risks in video games. Mm-hmm. I get this artificial achievement. Yeah. And at the end of it all, when I put my video game down, whether it's been an hour or 3 hours or 10 hours, and I step into my quote-unquote real life of maybe I've got a job, maybe I need to spend time with family or I have a significant other or whatever it is, I don't have any energy left for that.
For the real. Yeah.
And that's the thing that worries me most is robbing that desire of achievement. And I think that's why you can have a, you know, the proverbial 28, 29-year-old guy in his parents' basement who just has a dead-end job and seems to be satisfied. The reason I think that guy is satisfied is because he's getting all of his satisfaction in this artificial means.
So I've heard you say it steals time, it steals sleep, and it steals our energy from the very things and people that maybe, well, not maybe, that really deserve our time and energy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you got one more here.
Yeah, well, can I share a couple of healthy risks?
I'm so sorry.
No, these are just, you probably can think about things that are, you know, for you, listener, what would be a good healthy risk for your kids? Some things I thought of is like, give them a problem to solve that's all by themselves. Either, and lots of them have not had to risk something where achievement is either they do it or they don't, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a big element to it.
And by the way, can I add a problem that's real, not a hypothetical one?
Exactly.
Otherwise, we're doing the same thing you're doing in a video game.
Exactly.
A real problem in the community, perhaps.
Couple more things. Learning to drive. I think that's one healthy thing you did with your son, even at 12 years old or whatever, letting him get behind the wheel and just feel that sense of risk and say, this is a real goal that's worth working towards. Other things like rock climbing, other outdoor activities like that, outdoor camping, you know, it feels a little bit risky. But especially for young kids, it's a really fun way to kind of stretch themselves.
That's true.
Performing arts. Think about how risky it is to stand on stage and either I perform or I don't.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
I think there's lots of different ways, whether it's music or acting or singing or whatever it is. Performing arts can be a really healthy way to do that. So that's just a couple of
good
ideas on
love
that.
Love it. Okay, you've got one last area of human need.
One
talk
last
about
one.
That.
So let me go back through. Competition was number one. Yep. Achievement is number two. Risk was number three. And I think number four is socialization.
Yeah.
And this is really where video games have changed in the last 10, 15 years. And that is that I'm not playing my video game alone. So as I'm doing competition, achievement, risk, I'm also accomplishing all of those things with a squad, with the brotherhood, I think is a term that's used inside of Fortnite. But a group of people who are all getting together and who are helping me, we're all achieving this goal together. So socialization is happening. But here's what's interesting is the socialization is happening in a risk-free way. So for that kid who has a social anxiety, you put them face to face with an adult and they stare at their shoes the whole time. They don't know how to be face to face with somebody. It's a lot safer behind a screen. Lot safer behind a screen to have that conversation. Because I don't have to look anybody in the
eye. Right. Yeah.
It's very interesting. So I see that socialization is offered without the complexities of face-to-face interaction. And so it leads oftentimes because you're not looking at somebody else in the face to some downsides. There's a lot of bullying that happens on video games. Lots of profanity. I can say as somebody who's played, lots of profanity is happening. Lots of people just being mean to each other. It's not necessarily a healthy social interaction because we know without that face-to-face element, you're not having all like the true gambit of what it means to actually truly socialize.
Yeah, that's a great point. This is good thinking on this. So some healthy ways?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple of things. I think kids have got to meet up face-to-face with their friends.
Yeah.
Honestly, even playing a video game with their friends together in the same physical space is better than playing it over the internet, I think. That's my personal belief.
I tend to agree.
Especially if they have some social interaction before and after they play that game. I think boys will always want to, especially boys, will want to accomplish some goal together in a group of boys, you know. But if you could just get the friends together, I think that'll make a huge difference. Family dinners, I think, are a great time, a great replacement for social interaction. Attending school clubs and events, right? They may not want to go to the dance. Playing video games may sound better, but just encourage them. Get out there and take a risk. Get face-to-face with your friends. And even identifying video games that are less violent and more productive. So I think of Minecraft, for instance, where that's a video game where you can work together with people, and instead of killing each other, you're creating something. And I think if you got to start somewhere, that's better than nowhere. You know?
That's right.
Working together towards some common goal. So that's just a couple of ideas.
Well, I what comes to my mind when you're talking about the socialization that's genuine, not artificial, is shopping malls. You know, for years, maybe decades, kids went, especially teenagers, hang out at the shopping mall. Well, the shopping mall near our house, it's not a ghost town, but it's just a few people there. And I think it's because kids are either in the living room or alone. With friends, that's kind of weird, but it is true.
They don't have to get away from mom and dad anymore for that social environment. It can happen just by putting on a pair of headphones and you're there.
So maybe instruct them. Maybe call it retro. Let's go to the mall. It's retro.
Let's do something crazy, like go to the mall.
But getting out with peers. I so believe there's some priceless skill sets you can learn, like reading body language, seeing a face that's anxious or angry, and you only learn that when you're really real with a real human being face-to-face.
So. And I would say, I want listeners to hear me say, I don't think video games are the enemy here.
Of course,
In fact, we need to acknowledge that they're going to be very much a part of our cultural reality for many decades to come. I don't think there's a way to avoid that. I just think we need to help kids realize that they can have all of the things that they get from a video game in real life, and it has long-term benefits.
That's right. Yeah. So in summary, what you've talked about today were competition. Here's how Fortnite does it. Here's how you might want to do it off a screen. Achievement. Every person, every human being needs to achieve something. Risk. We all need to learn to take risks and calculate them. And then finally, socialization. I'm thinking about our habitudes for social and emotional learning. This is part of what needs to be taught in schools, probably because we're spending so much time on screens. So in just a minute, I may have you talk a little bit about that. For a parent or educator that might be listening, thinking, this is relevant to me.
Yeah.
How do we get out of this? Well, I think the whole idea of social emotional learning may be the key in addition to reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, this has been very, very helpful.
Thank you.
Very practical. And I interviewed you, sir.
Thank you for interviewing me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's the least I can do. Yeah.
Do you mind if I share one last story?
No, please. I'd like
one that comes to mind.
In fact, I wanted you to. I know what you're going to say. We talked about this before. You had your own epiphany as a young adult in your teenage years.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about that.
Well, I think it's a sign of my parents did something right, which meant that I got to make a decision for myself. Mm-hmm. My senior year, after my senior year of high school, I had raised up enough money after Christmas. I got my Christmas money, and I bought an Xbox. And along with that Xbox, I bought one of my favorite games ever. The thing just lost me. But anyways, it's one of those games where you got swords and you got armor this stuff, and you're trying to achieve this goal. Yeah. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to play it between Christmas when I bought this thing and when I graduated high school. But as soon as I graduated high school, all of a sudden, it's summertime.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to school. I'm about to head to college, and I got all the time in the world. And so I started playing this game. I just remember Elder Scrolls Oblivion. That was what it was called. Sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So I'm playing Elder Scrolls. I played all that summer. I got all the armor. I'm doing all amazing stuff. And around, I think it was middle or late July, I went to save the game, and the game save actually says how many hours you've put into that game
saved. Oh, you got a little insight.
Yes, and so it hit me when I read that number. I had gotten to 90 hours.
Wow.
And I was just thinking about, like, I started that game back in the end of May.
Yeah.
And now here I am in July, and I have spent 90 hours on this game.
Yeah.
And this question just popped into my head all of a sudden. And it was, I think my parents had raised me right. Yeah, I'd been asked all the right questions. I asked myself, what do I have to show for it?
Yeah.
Wow. And I realized the answer was nothing.
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I've got armor and I'm able to go to my friends and say, look how amazing I am. But I just played this solo game with absolutely nothing to show for it. And it hit me that, one, I had an addictive personality when it came to video games, as a lot of us do. But two, that if I was going to work towards something, if I was going to put 90 hours into something, I wanted it to be something that was going to matter, that I was going to be proud of, that I was going to achieve. And it was also around that time that my Xbox actually broke and was in need of repair. And I made a decision, instead of getting that thing fixed, I think what I'm going to do is sell it. And so I lost $100 on it, but I decided, I've only had it for a few months, but I'm going to sell this thing because if this comes with me to college, I'm going to make the wrong decisions about how I spend my time.
Interesting. So you sold your video games.
Yeah. And it was one of the best decisions I made. Now, I still got to play video games in college because so many guys brought them with
them. Yes, that's right.
I just go to their room, play for a couple hours, and then I go back to the studying I needed to. But I just realized if I was going to achieve these long-term goals that I had, that I needed to create a separation between me and that thing, because I realized it wasn't giving me ultimately what I wanted. Now, I even today will still play a little game on my phone now and again. There's nothing really wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's just about helping kids understand that true achievement doesn't happen in a video game or on a screen.
That's right.
It's got to happen in real life.
Yeah, love it. This has been rich. Yeah. Andrew, thanks for leading us in this discussion.
Absolutely.
I'll actually turn it back over to you now to lead us into our exit.
So I know a lot of you maybe are listening to this and thinking, what in the world do I do about this? I want to give you a couple of insights. I think for those of you, especially who are in the educational world and you want to find ways to talk about how do you develop the skills that where young people appreciate the more important things in life, we've got a great course called Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning that Tim was just talking about. Please take a look at that on growingleaders.com. I think that could be a really great resource if you're sitting in that educational environment and wondering, how do I lead my students through this? If you're a parent or a leader of the next generation and thinking about how do I even understand this world that we're in right now, Tim and I wrote the book Marching Off the Map. I think it's a great place to start, both in understanding this generation, but also in just figuring out how do I navigate this new world that we're in. That's really what Marching Off the Map's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So check out those two resources. You can find Marching Off the Map at marchingoffthemap.com. So pretty easy to find there. As always, we so enjoy interacting with you. We've had several of you reaching out to us on social media about the podcast and about things that Tim and I are writing, and that's just been an honor. So connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are. We are there as well. We love connecting with you that way. If you will, rate this podcast. It gets the word out about what we're doing here, and hopefully we'll bring in more people to kind of join this conversation. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for things you want us to talk about on the podcast, other subjects, or even people you want us to interview and talk with, we love to get those suggestions. Send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. So thanks so much, Tim, for joining in this conversation with me. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.